Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. The Daily Show podcast has everything you need to stay on top of today's news and pop culture. You get hilarious, satirical takes on entertainment, politics, sports, and more from Jon and the team of correspondents and contributors. The podcast also has content you can't get anywhere else, like extended interviews and a roundup of the weekly headlines. Listen to The Daily Show, Ears Edition, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, listener, it's Zach Harper, Amin Alhassan, and Anthony Mays of Cinephobe. You may be asking yourself, what is Cinephobe? Amin, would you like to fill in the people?
Cinephobe is the podcast where Zach and I watch movies that are poorly rated on Rotten Tomatoes and try to ascertain.
We're trying to ascertain?
Yes.
Okay.
Ascertain.
Whether or not they're accurately poorly rated, or maybe they didn't get a fair shake. Cinephobe, produced by this guy, Anthony Mays.
Hey, that's me. I produced this show. I also watched the movies, even though that wasn't included in the description, and I also ascertained. This month is...
Whoa!
Oh, Maze, why'd you say that? Supercharge it. So that this promo can remain evergreen.
I feel like explaining a little bit more.
In 60 seconds?
I don't know. Maybe I don't bring attention to it. Assuring people like, look, if you listen, you're going to get it. Just give it time.
That's a good promo. Just listen to it.
Give it time.
You'll figure it out.
Is this the promo right now?
Isn't it?
Okay, I think we got it.
Cinephobe.
Wherever you get podcasts.
Coming to you live from the Ray Horseman Studio in North Hollywood, California, it's Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone, your comedy field guide to life. On tonight's show, ever say, I'll see you in court? How about, I'll see you in arbitration? Attorney Thomas Lenz is here to talk about arbitration, mediation, and persuasion of all sorts. An old Italian proverb says, a bad agreement is better than a good lawsuit. We'll find out if that's true. And more theme song entries. Our ongoing contest to compose this show's theme song welcomes new contestants. Do we finally have a winner, or are we just waiting for Godot? Call me Lucky, or Pazzo, let's go. We can't. I'm Adam Felber, the man who tries to arbitrate this show's conversation into coherence. And now, please welcome the woman who appeals every court ruling requiring her to wear a conversational ankle monitor, Paula Poundstone.
Thank you very much.
Welcome, Paula.
Thanks very much.
And thank you to tonight's house band, violinist Dmitry Yevsefiev.
That was well done.
Yevsefiev.
Yeah.
Yevstafiev.
Yevstafiev.
Dmitry.
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 Welcome. Yevstafiev. And it's a viola. I have violinists down here, but it is a viola. Okay.
Bruce Springsteen on the guitar, ladies and gentlemen.
Speaking of Eastern Europe, though, because
yes.
I assume that Dmitry's name hails from somewhere around there. We are a highly rated podcast in Moldova. We covered that before. Remember that? We bragged about that. And we gave an overview of Moldova. You and I. This week, we got fact-checked by a listener from neighboring Romania.
Oh, yeah. Boy, they are sticklers.
They are. They're a nation of sticklers.
Yeah. They anything about their neighbor that's incorrect, they jump on it.
Yeah. Or themselves. They're just stickler people.
Yeah. So he said...
Andrei Dobra wrote with these notes. The Moldovan capital, Chisinau, does not have an umlaut under its letter.
No.
The sign is actually closer to an accent from French rather than the Germanic umlaut.
Oh, my gosh. This comes as a blow.
Did we umlaut it? Yeah. I'm sorry, Paula.
Yeah. I mean, my mouth is hanging open right now. Okay. On our Facebook page, we have three faces you might want to look up.
I believe
phase number one is the Rod Rosenstein... I'm a
prisoner.
Right. Help, I'm being kidnapped, standing behind Bill Barr. And then there's a Bill Barr face, like I'm pretending I don't understand face.
Huh?
And then there is the, I'm trying to understand the word suggest, I think was what he meant.
Yes, yes. And you know, I've looked at that picture again, and he looks for all the world like a dog that's cocking its head and pretending that you can't see the cookie box.
He's this far from being Nipper from RCA.
Yeah.
And then the third face is a Beatles fan, a young Beatles fan that's
screaming.
Just hysterical with love. And I just want to say, when I got that information
about the umlaut,
the umlaut I had the Rod Rosenstein face. Just
yeah.
I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. A plea for help.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm feeling that way too because I ordered that entire thank you just now T-shirt lot.
Yeah.
And it's
got
an umlaut.
Wondering what the umlaut. You know what I think?
Diacritical marks suck.
Diacritical marks?
Yeah, that's what they're called, isn't
no,
it?
No, there's a pill you can take for that that's advertised on MSNBC. When you just keep going to the bathroom and the animated bowel leads you down the hall, you take a diacritical.
No.
Yeah.
No, I'm talking about the kind of marks that you have. You know, diacritical marks was also the least known, less known than Gummo of the Marx Brothers.
Of the Marx Brothers,
he was
yeah.
not a funny man at all.
Yeah, diacritical, get in here. Leave Groucho alone. He's thinking of funny things.
Okay, but you know what? Andre Dobra had another thing to tell us.
Yes.
And I want you to brace yourself because I think you're going to go all Rosenstein on me again.
Yeah.
The National Dish, Mamaliga, while described as a porridge, is actually closer to the Italian polenta.
Well, that deeply saddens me.
I know.
That
and I'm thinking about that bumper sticker I had printed up. It's not porridge, it's mamaliga.
Yeah. I want you to know that I had a mamaliga recently and I'm fine.
Oh yeah? Did you have it lanced?
No, I had the the procedure.
That procedure mamaliga, to get rid of your mamaliga?
The breast.
That's a mammogram.
Oh, my God. Oh, I feel like an idiot.
Mammaliga is a comic book series about a bunch of super mammals.
So I didn't need to go to Moldova to do it?
You went to Moldova and had somebody just squeeze your boobs?
To have a mammaliga done.
Yeah, yeah. They were just
They loved
you.
Me. They said, she's from Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone.
Let's do the mammaliga dance.
They loved me there. I got the mamaliga for free.
I used to dance the mamaliga every Saturday night.
I said, you're fine. Your breasts are fine. Mamaliga.
Yeah, you see, here's the thing. Any medical procedure that comes with a song is not a medical procedure.
Really?
That should have been your...
Mamaliga. I felt so good.
Well, yeah. I understand. It's a very comforting feeling. Anyway, Andre added, quote, I'm happy that such a glorious podcast as yourselves is turning its eye towards Eastern Europe. And I hope you are also climbing the charts in Romania as well.
Well, I turned not only my eye, but my breast towards Eastern Europe.
Yeah.
Yeah, Andre.
Yeah, so
I got good news.
She's clean.
Yeah, yeah. Wow.
They cleared her in Moldova.
We tried to. Was there a Romanian podcast chart?
Tony says, Tony Anita Hull, our producer, says we can't see where we rank on the Romanian podcast chart.
Why? Is it like a...
They're sticklers. They can't have everybody looking at their stats. We already said.
So there are stats, but they won't show them?
They're very secretive, too.
Uh-huh. I see.
Their national motto is, wouldn't you like to know our national motto?
Yeah. It's need... They have charts that show, but it's on a need-to-know basis.
Right.
And so you have to actually prove that you need to know.
Well, if you're a Romanian and you have access to secret charts, please feel free to write us in and let us know where we rank.
Gosh, this so reminds me of when Trump asked the Russians to look for the emails.
Yeah. Yeah, right? We're inviting you to look.
Yeah.
Andre, thanks for writing in. And go tell your friends so that we can climb the charts in Romania.
Yeah, that'll be great. Can't keep doing the podcast if we don't have more listeners.
We have to keep growing.
Yeah.
We're a growth-oriented industry, we podcasters.
Absolutely.
In other news, listener Scott Franciscus won a hotel soap. Remember him?
Yes, congratulations, Scott Franciscus.
For his succinct description of the pod. You know, he wrote, his quote was, a weekly clusterfuck for the soul. Which is a very succinct description. And you've been using it, haven't you?
I have been using it, yes. Yes, because I read aloud to a preschool a couple times a week.
Yeah.
And so.
Right.
And the kids want to know, like, you know, are
What's
you somebody's mom?
About?
And I say, well, yes, but nobody who goes to school here. I said, I'm Paula Poundstone from Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone.
What's that, Miss Poundstone?
And they tilt their little heads, almost Bill Barr-esque. Uh-huh. And I say, it's a podcast, and a comedy podcast. I'm not very good at describing it. And then I say, it's a weekly clusterfuck for the soul.
Oh.
And they go, oh, thank you for sharing.
Well, you know, for that great description, we mailed Scott Franciscus a bar of hotel soap.
Yeah, this is so humiliating.
Yeah, and because this is a big prize that you came up with. Because
right, it's a
you
fresh,
go to hotels and you
a fresh bar of hotel soap.
Autographed.
Yeah, well, autographed, exactly.
I mean, sometimes.
Sometimes it's autographed.
Wow.
I don't think I autograph every soap.
I would if I were you, because it's not much of a gift otherwise.
I love the idea that you think it's more valuable as a result of the fact that I've signed it.
At least it shows you're doing something.
Yeah, I am. I'm doing. I bring it home. I bring it home, and then we mail it to the
people.
True
enough. Given the size of your luggage,
and we mail it to the people.
Council. That's right.
See, we mail it.
And here's the thing: Scott wrote to us to say that it came postage due, so he actually paid for his hotel soap. Which you didn't. The post office didn't like that it was in an envelope, and they called it a package, and Scott had to pay for it.
So we put it in an envelope instead of a package?
Well, who's responsible for that? Looking around. Tony Anita Hull.
Oh, my
thought
gosh.
She could get away stuffing an envelope with soap.
Wow.
Oh, no. Tony.
Wow.
Bitterly disappointed.
I'll tell you something. The only reason that we don't make the prize a cruise ship vacation,
right,
is that none of our listeners would pay for the cruise ship vacation.
Right.
And so we couldn't make it that, yeah.
But that's not a prize, technically. If you say you've won the right to take a cruise,
yeah,
and pay for it, that's not that's a suggestion. That's not a prize.
It's more,
you shouldn't make people pay for prizes, is my point.
It's more a blessing. We give you, here at our podcast, we give you a blessing of, you have our blessing to go on a cruise.
Yeah.
Yeah, on a cruise ship.
Yeah, that would be not a prize.
That's a great prize.
It isn't a prize.
And people
at all
jump up and down and cry over that. They make the number 3 face over that. Go ahead, look it up.
it's the Beatles fan if you're just tuning in. Okay, and speaking of hotel soaps, that reminds me of hematology.
I think so many things do.
I'm trying to master the segue, and it's not really working. A week or two ago, we talked about the fact that you got an alert that you were referenced in the Mediterranean Journal of Hematology and Infectious Diseases, right?
Yes. Yeah, that's correct.
And that's the only information that you got.
Yeah, we don't know why I was referenced.
Right.
It could have been bleeding like a stuck pound stone.
Right.
It could have been.
It could have been.
We have no way of knowing, really.
Yeah, you thought they might have added an entertainment section or something?
Or a centerfold.
Or a centerfold. Right. A picture snapped in the town square of somewhere in Moldova.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm looking for, what's the name of the publication again? It was the Mediterranean Hematology.
Mediterranean Journal of Hematology and Infectious Diseases.
Yeah, yeah. I'm the centerfold in that. That's what it is.
I'm convinced that there's something now called Poundstone Syndrome.
That's what is there. Yeah.
I'm guessing. Point is we don't know. And so we decided to get our crack research staff on it. And we came up against a paywall in order to read this entry from the Mediterranean Journal of Hematology and Infectious Diseases. You have to subscribe to it. And it turns out it costs $8.25 a month billed annually. About $99 a year. You have to pay all $99 just to find out about Poundstone Syndrome.
Well, you know what? Scott paid the mail delivery on his soap.
He clearly
Scott
has some cash.
Scott
Franciscus is made of money.
Yeah, I don't know why he couldn't belly up to the bar and take care of this for us.
Well, you know what, Scott? We're not asking you to do that. But
I am. Okay. I'm asking you, Scott.
I'm not asking you to do that, Scott.
And Scott, when your cruise trip that we are blessing goes by Moldova, you can say
and you're
we
taking
said,
a
yeah.
shower with that soap that we sent you to pay for.
Yeah, signed soap. It wasn't just any soap. It was signed. It was signed soap from the Marriott Garden Inn.
Well, listen, we're putting out an APB out there. If Scott Franciscus decides to cheap out on us, is there anybody out there, a doctor that subscribes to the Mediterranean Journal of Hematology and Infectious Diseases, or has some sort of account that allows you access to that journal? Please let us know why they mentioned Paula Poundstone last month.
You know, it may be that they have such a small readership that what they do is they put out, because it came on email. So maybe they just say, hey, we mentioned you in our magazine.
Oh, you think it's like a spam thing?
It may well be.
I think
it's more likely than I was actually in for any reason.
As I've told you, I'm the son of a hematologist, so I know that here in America, hematology is all but completely folded into oncology. There aren't a lot of hematological journals, I would not think, anymore.
No. You know why? Because they've never had good centerfolds. But now.
Now. Starting in the Mediterranean.
They're coming back, baby.
Moldovan poundstone pictures.
Hey, Paula. You know, every once in a while we get a new advertiser that I get super excited about. And I have to say, just because of the circumstances of my life, right now I'm really excited about our new advertiser, Quince, of Quince.com, the clothing provider.
Not to be mistaken for Quince from Midsummer Night's Dream. And let me just say this, and maybe it's not important to an advertisement, but when I was in the fourth grade, our class put on a production of A Midsummer Night's Dream.
Okay.
And I played Peter Quince. There's the connection.
One of the mechanicals. That's a great connection. Also, yes, has nothing to do with this, which is that Quince is an online clothing store. And as you know, Paula, I've lost a little weight lately.
Oh, right.
75 pounds. Yeah. So I literally have no clothes that are in my size until I just ordered some stuff at Quince. And I figured, like, here's a chance for me to create a new look for myself. A whole new image.
And how's it going?
Not bad. I mean, the clothes are fantastic. I know that you ordered some too. What I got is the Comfort Stretch Traveler 5-pocket pants. And I got I got the 100% European linen shirt, and it looks breezy and it fits beautifully. And these are like premium pieces of clothing that are selling for like, you know, $30 a piece or starting at $30 at quince.com. It's awesome. I look good.
I ordered the brushed lounge jogger.
Ooh.
And, you know, I put them on when I came back from New York. I pulled them on and I swear to you, okay, this is not scientific because I was tired already.
Right.
But they were so soft and so comfortable that honestly, like right as I got them up to my waist, I think my eyes closed. They're so, it's a softness. It's a kind of softness that I don't think I've ever experienced in a garment, honestly.
You know, my drawstring European linen trousers are a little bit like that, too. Like, so comfortable that I just want to hang out with myself.
Sure. Yeah. And they're European. Keep that in mind.
They are so European. And you can get those kinds. You can get washable silk tops. You can get 14-karat gold jewelry and, like, all these accessories.
Quince sells a lineup of timeless pieces that keep their customers looking effortlessly chic year after year. I'm not certain that I look chic, but certainly if I did, it's not going to take a lot of effort.
I now look chic and I feel pretty great. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabric. It's all good as far as I can see.
Is it my imagination or do they cut out the middleman?
They cut out the middleman, Paula Poundstone.
I love it when they cut out the middleman. That's the thing. They cut out the middleman. That's fantastic.
So be like me and Paula. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/nobody for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/nobody to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/nobody. And honestly, I look fantastic. Paula, you won't be able to keep your hands off me.
Oh, I can't wait. And don't think that if you had to return something, don't think you're sending it to a middleman because they cut out the middleman.
They cut out the middleman. That's quince.com/nobody. And if you're going to do it anyway,
use our code.
Jesus fucks.
Get ready for the miracle of mega. A comedy podcast from the staff of a fictional mega church.
And not only does he but he's the best at it.
I'm Holly Loren.
And I'm Greg Hess.
Our characters, Holly and Gray, welcome a new guest each week, played by some of the biggest names in comedy and podcasting.
Like Scott Aukerman, Lauren Lapkus, Paul Scheer, Jason Mantzoukas, Cecily Strong, and Duncan Trussell.
I just love to think about that, the light shining down on all those corpses in the water and Noah just going by and maybe a mom being like, please, we're running out of energy. Can you please let us on the boat?
It's completely improvised and it's devilishly funny.
Is there any question you have for us about, you know, what it means to live a life in Christ?
I guess, how much do you think is bullshit?
There's a new episode every Sunday.
Listen and subscribe to Mega, wherever you get your podcasts.
Best I ever had. Best I, y'all can do it, y'all can do it. Y'all sing along. You know what I'm saying? Here go. Jesus, you the best.
Jesus, you're the best.
You to be the best.
Jesus, you're
Jesus,
the best.
You the best. Okay, never mind.
Best I ever had. Best I ever had.
The spread of misinformation has fueled our cultural divide and increased our collective anxiety about the future. Tackling misinformation isn't a simple task, but it's important. And that's why I'm so excited to tell you about Conspirituality, a podcast that's dismantling New Age cults, wellness grifters, and conspiracy mad yogis.
On the show, a journalist, a cult researcher, and a philosophical skeptic walk into a bar, and the bartender says, no, it's not that old joke. They dive deep into current events such as RFK Jr.'s involvement in mainstreaming dangerous anti-vax rhetoric. They crowdsource, research, analyze, and dream up answers to the problem with, get this, proven science as their ultimate guiding light.
I highly recommend you check out Conspirituality's fascinating episodes on creating comedy in the MAGAverse with Jordan Klepper or RFK Jr. flirting with body fascism.
And you've listened to a bunch of them at this point, Paula, I know, and you tell me you love it.
I do. They're fascinating, and my favorite part is they use, wait for it, proven science.
And if
there's any kids listening, that's a class we used to take. Proven science as their ultimate guiding light. I love that.
From exploring cults to analyzing our cultural and political landscape, the Conspirituality podcast will help you stay informed about misinformation and help you resist fear tactics. Find Conspirituality on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
There's a giant salamander crawling on our table. Anthony Alfaro has once again brought a visitor.
Wow. That is big. Can you get it away from the chips, though? Because I like to eat these chips.
Okay. Well, you know what? Salamanders are very clean.
Salamanders are very clean?
Very clean.
Where did
animals.
You get that idea?
Well, look at them.
Wait a minute. That's a little autographed soap in his hand.
Yeah.
That explains it. No, I didn't know. Where do you get the idea that salamanders are very clean?
I have no idea where I get that idea.
Yeah.
He looks clean.
Yeah. He's giant. No,
yeah, he's a big, for a salamander, he's big.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've had a lot of,
we should explain that we had like a month ago, we had a
bat guano over there on the floor from like 2 weeks ago.
A month ago, we genuinely had a zoologist on the show and he brought some very interesting animals. And I think Anthony Alfaro has been somewhat pathetically trying to keep up by bringing animals every week.
Yeah. And we've tried to ask him like where he's getting these animals from.
And that he
just
gets
says he has a friend who has a friend. He knows a guy
Romanian
who knows a guy.
On us, you know, need to know basis.
Yeah. Won't say a word. We had a silverback gorilla like a month ago.
That was upsetting.
Yeah, it was upsetting. You can still see where its head on the drop ceiling here at Ray Horseman Studios. You can still see where his head pushed up a little bit there, which makes for a unique sound when you record over in that area.
Yeah, well, it's one of the, it adds character to the studio, I think.
Yeah.
And finally, I want to get to this. You've been bringing us vocabulary words every week, and our listeners just love it.
Oh,
I assume they do. They don't really write in about it, but
if they did write in about it, they would have a broad vocabulary to utilize.
They'd be able
in
to
each
use
of
many
their
words.
Letters.
Yes.
Well, you know, Adam, as you know, there are lots of perks for making this podcast. For example, I think it was last week when I got stuck trying to parallel park, and if I drove forward a quarter of an inch, I was on the bumper of the car in front of me, and if I drove a quarter of an inch backwards, I was against the curb. And a man came out of the auto insurance storefront right there beside the marijuana dispensary to try to guide me.
Right.
And a crowd gathered, and it took me about 30 minutes to finally park.
Yeah.
And I was deeply humiliated.
Okay.
Still, I have to ask myself, is that enough of a perk for doing our podcast? So for the last several weeks, as you say, I've been learning a word per episode. This week's word is pusillanimous.
Pusillanimous.
It's an adjective.
It is.
Bonnie Burns. That means contemptibly timid, cowardly. Here, I'll use it in a sentence. Mm-hmm. Trump must have some sort of leverage over Lindsey Graham because Graham has become pusillanimous and won't speak out against the president's misdeeds.
Wow, that's current and it's correct. That's a terrific use of the word pusillanimous.
Pusillanimous. It's probably, in fact, I'm sure if you look up pusillanimous, as they say in
there'd
the dictionary,
be a picture of Lindsey Graham.
There's Lindsey Graham right there. Recent Lindsey Graham, not so much old Lindsey Graham.
You know, that word came up in my life recently, and I remembered where I learned it from on my way here tonight. Do you remember the Ruddles?
The who?
The Ruddles, Eric Idle's Beatles parody band
from the
late 70s?
No.
Oh, it was a very funny TV special. In one of their fake Beatles song, they used the word pusillanimous. That's how I knew it.
I didn't, boy, that, you had to make several sharp turns to get to that.
from the word pusillanimous to how I knew it?
Yeah.
And you're the one who somehow brought it out of a parallel parking story.
Yeah. What's the word? Do you know where I learned the word obsolete?
Where?
As an adult, I happened to be watching Captain Kangaroo one day. And Captain Kangaroo taught the word obsolete.
Boy, he was really getting, he was really scraping the bottom of that barrel.
He was an edgy
he was out of stuff
children's
to do.
Television guy.
All right, kids, today we're going to talk about me and how I feel. There's a word for that.
You know, I was never a great fan of that show, although I did like Mr. Green Jeans. But when I grew up, I realized he actually, I saw him one time on the NewsHour. And very much like Mr. Rogers, what the heck is his name?
Who did you see on the NewsHour? The captain or Mr. Green?
Keesham, Bob Keesham.
Yeah.
Was actually a brilliant children's advocate.
Was he?
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't say along the lines of Kim Kardashian, but very good.
Very good.
Very good.
In his own little way.
Yeah. No.
Well, I never liked Captain Kangaroo either, nor Mr. Green Jeans, and I don't trust anybody named after their pants. Just prima facie, that's just no, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, your wife's name is Jeannie.
She's not named for pants.
Jean, ask her mother. She is. I asked her mother one day.
You have not asked her mother.
I did. I asked her mother. We were talking about you guys growing up, and I told her mother about how you used to want to be a Smurf, and so you dyed yourself blue.
Fake news? Yeah,
and she told me, she just said, you know, she has a southern accent, Jeannie's mom, and she said, well, I want you to know that I named Jeannie after jeans.
Coming up! It wasn't. Coming up, Voltaire said, quote, I was never ruined but twice, once when I lost a lawsuit, once when I won one. Lawyer Thomas Lenz suggests an alternative to trying lawsuits in court. We'll talk arbitration when we return on Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone. And we're back. Oh, thank you, Dimitri. This is I hope you all enjoyed that 5-second musical interlude because I feel reset.
I am definitely reset.
Now, Paula, we have something in common. And I want to hear your side of the story. We both had, at one point in our lives, thought we had a brain tumor.
Well, okay, I'm not sure that I was hopeful because I hate to put away leftovers, but I know I don't. A doctor told me that they thought that I might have a brain tumor,
and you were like, "Great, now I don't have to put away these leftovers."
Exactly, and so I went to another doctor because the right.
You want a second opinion?
Well, no, they sent me because it was my eye doctor who thought I had a brain tumor. And so she sent me to the brain tumor guy,
A neurologist or a neurosurgeon, probably.
I think it was just a therapist or a doctor in front of her name. And
wow, that's a bad eye doctor.
I went to a neuro something.
Yeah.
And at the brain tumor detection doctor, however, I had to sign a form. You know, when I checked in, I said, you know, I'm Paul Poundstone.
He's Paul Poundstone.
Give me the clipboard with the form.
I've got a plate of lasagna on my counter,
right,
and I need to know whether I have to put it away or not.
I'm waiting for the other shoe to fall. And they said, okay. So one of the forms I had to fill out was I had to sign a thing saying that I agreed to arbitration. Now,
okay.
First of all, if you think you have a brain tumor and you're going to the brain tumor doctor, I don't feel it's much of a choice. Like, we're going to check to see if you have a brain tumor, and it's fairly urgent, I'm going to assume.
Well, it depends. There can be slow-growing blood. Yes. All right. I'm just going to say yes.
Right. Okay. It felt urgent to me.
Sure.
Right. So, and
right. Lasagna was getting cold.
Because I hate to put away leftovers. And why make plans? And so, that's a weird one. Like, say you agree to arbitration.
I would imagine that's a very common thing, especially in high-risk medical places now.
Yeah. It's a little bit gun to your head. And the truth is, at that point, I would have signed a paper saying that, you know, I'd work for free for the guy every Tuesday. And what I want to know is what would arbitration have looked like if the brain tumor doctor, say he did surgery and he removed the wrong lobe, and now I go to arbitration. I've never known. What would that mean? What does it mean?
Yeah, it's an alternative to a legal action. I know that much. And I'd imagine in the medical profession, it's very, very common because, you know, Well, we'll talk about that with our next guest.
I wonder if we have anyone who could help us.
We, in fact, do. We have someone who can help us both with Moldova's national dish and with arbitration. Let's see. Thomas Lenz is an attorney with the firm of Atkinson Andelson Lawyer Rude and Romo, and he is the law lecturer at the University of Southern California. Please welcome Thomas Lenz.
Thank you.
That is one hell of a firm. Atkinson, Andelson, Lawyer, Rood, and Romo. That's a train route.
Yeah, and if it your is. Last name is Lawyer, what else are you going to do for a living?
Lawyer.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you got to be a lawyer.
I'm sure he gets that all the time.
Once or she.
Yeah. Now, Thomas, thanks for coming to our show. Now, before we get to Paula's brain tumor that wasn't, you apparently, you said as you were sitting down that you know something about Moldovan food.
Indeed,
Moldovan cuisine.
Through a friend.
Okay.
And that friend happens to be Moldovan.
Okay.
And he told the story of traveling in the South.
Uh-huh.
And when his father was served grits, he exclaimed, a la Eureka, Mamaliga.
Aha!
Because grits have the consistency of, that would make sense to me, because polenta and grits aren't that far apart from each other. So Mamaliga.
Yeah. And cream of wheat. It's all the same.
Well, cream of wheat is a little soggier, isn't it?
Not if you make it wrong.
Okay. Fair point. Now let's move to your brain tumor, which I'm starting to wonder if they actually diagnosed it correctly.
Well, fortunately, I signed that arbitration thing, so if they were wrong, boy, have I got them over a barrel.
That's right. Or do you? Let's find out. Thomas, Tom, I can call you Tom, right?
You can call me Tom.
I'm going to do it. Tom, did she really have a choice in agreeing to arbitration?
In a sense, yes, because you could say, I want to do this or I don't. Arbitration is considered a contractual sort of obligation. It's something that you can choose to enter into and resolve a dispute through the specified terms. Or you can say, I don't want to do that, in which case the doctor probably isn't going to treat you.
Well, that's my whole point.
Yeah,
I mean, if you're at the doctor, you think you might have a brain tumor, and scheduling is challenging, it seems to me that you would just do whatever.
Yeah.
Now, if that doctor had really messed up, like let's say not even removing, let's say they just removed her finger or something, or a nipple, what would the arbitration have looked like?
The arbitration is something less formal than a court proceeding. It is considered a form of alternative dispute resolution, which federal and state law consider an appropriate way to resolve disputes, assuming the parties agree and assuming that certain basics of the legal process are observed. And that would be the ability to call witnesses, to cross-examine witnesses against you, perhaps to receive remedies similar to what you could obtain in court. And it would be...
But you've got a panel and not a jury is kind of the...
Maybe.
Or just a judge?
It depends on the agreement. Some arbitration is before a single arbitrator. Other arbitration is before a panel. And it really depends upon the particular setting that you're in.
Sometimes it's in front of a high school choir.
Really?
Yeah. And the answer can come back with harmony. And yeah. So, all right.
I'm entirely sure that's not true.
So it's not in a court.
Right. It's not in a court.
It's just like in somebody's office.
It seems like there's an opportunity for corruption there if there's a single arbitrator.
Well, there...
Because I'd pay him off.
I would think that would be an issue that could be challenged in court. There is an ability, not necessarily to appeal an arbitration award, but if there is some infirmity in how the arbitrator ruled, maybe inconsistent with the contract, inconsistent with the law that might underlie the arbitration agreement, particularly if it's referenced in the agreement, or if you have a biased arbitrator for some reason that you're able to establish.
Uh-huh.
And that's
so
very rare.
Even in arbitration, you can still sue the shit out of somebody, right? So you can go, I don't accept this arbitration, now I go to court.
Well, it's not the same as an appeal. You're typically giving up your right to go to court. You have a limited scope of review.
Uh-huh.
So
what you'd be able to review is the bias of the arbitrator and things like that.
Right. And a court is typically going to put a really high bar in front of you to show that, you know, something about your agreed upon process must have been really, really wrong for them to be willing to...
To take it at all.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, well, they took my finger instead of my brain tumor. How would so would someone see that there was an error there?
I think that might be such a case.
Yeah.
Now, I'm guessing that the reason why doctors need this arbitration more than other professionals is because malpractice suits. Is that it?
Juries are made up of patients, typically not doctors. And they've been there. They've waited in the waiting rooms. They've had whatever treatment go right or wrong. And I think they would tend to sympathize more with the patient than with the doctor.
Uh-huh. So let me get this straight then. In arbitration, there's no lawyers. There's just, you just go in and there's just one person that's saying yay or nay.
Or panel.
There can be lawyers. Many times lawyers will represent one side or the other in an arbitration. I've seen procedures over the years where perhaps it's spelled out in the agreement that attorneys are not allowed. But I would say that's rare.
Or sometimes they're allowed, but every time they say, I object, the arbitrator goes, this isn't a courtroom, sit down.
And that's probably gets really tiresome.
And you're
tiresome.
Paying for that. Yeah. I said, sit down.
I object to sitting down. What's the difference between arbitration and mediation?
Arbitration is a substitute for a court proceeding where there is a decision typically binding on the parties. Mm-hmm. Mediation, on the other hand, it's a different type of alternative dispute resolution where parties are brought together to try to settle.
Oh, they haven't pre-agreed to mediation like you have to with arbitration.
They may agree to go to mediation or they may be ordered by a court.
I see.
The court says, we want you to put your best efforts into settling this using a third-party mediator, a neutral, to try to facilitate those discussions. And oftentimes the parties will either select a mediator or have one appointed by a court, someone who has some sort of subject matter expertise.
Uh-huh.
So in a medical malpractice case, it would hopefully be someone who understands medicine and the sorts of issues that you've described. If it was a wage and hour case.
To be fair, removing a finger rather than a part of your brain, that's easy for even a layman to understand.
Well, in the sense of resolving
a legal
dispute.
Look, he's already siding with the doctor. Did you see that? Did you see?
No, I was siding with you.
No, Tom. Tom, when he went to, he hesitated. He made like a number two Bill Barr face.
Yeah, he did.
And then he sided
did make
with
that
the
Bill Barr number two face.
I saw the whole thing.
Yeah, he was afraid. Yeah, but you know.
Yeah, so Adam said, like, okay, but if you took off a finger instead of removing a brain tumor, anybody who could be a layman and still understand that is a mistake. And Tom went, well, yeah.
Well, the mediator's job isn't to decide things. It's really to try to find where the strengths and weaknesses are in the case.
Mm-hmm.
At that point, the weakness is in my finger that's not there anymore.
They say the finger is a window to the brain.
Yeah, it's my left grip, my left-hand grip. That's where the weakness is.
Yeah, you are minus one digit, and that is certainly a point of leverage for purposes of mediation.
And since I make my living as a shoplifter, now I'm four-finger discount instead of a five-finger discount.
That's 20% less.
Yeah, exactly.
Of a discount.
So
a detective came and knocked on the door, and I said, is it Renee? And he just gave me that solemn look.
It was the worst day ever.
The Proof Podcast is back with a new case and a new season. 23 years ago, 18-year-old Renee Ramos went missing. Her body was later found in an empty Home Depot building on the edge of town.
I don't think that they arrested the right people. It's about time somebody's trying to do something.
She had a black eye about 2 weeks before she was murdered.
They are involved. They definitely had her body and her backpack.
You know people are going to judge you, right?
Of course. They're judging me now. They've been judging me down there my whole life.
You can listen now to season 2 of Proof, wherever you get your podcasts. And follow along with us as we reinvestigate the murder at the warehouse.
I have to ask, did you kill Renee?
This mediator that everyone agrees to now.
Or the arbitrator.
Where
are we? Are we in arbitration or mediation?
He was explaining
right now?
The difference. He was talking about the mediation, I believe.
Right. Yes. Are you do you do arbitration?
I represent parties in arbitration. I am not an arbitrator. Yes, occasionally.
Okay.
How do you become an arbitrator? Arbitrarily?
Well, that would be conceivably possible, but yeah. Not
just the
not
third
typical.
Guy off the subway that day.
Typically, someone is a lawyer who has taken courses in how to be an effective arbitrator. The government offers courses. The American Arbitration Association offers courses. There are different places one can go to essentially learn to be a neutral rather than a an advocate for one side or the other.
You know, if I were going to be an arbitrator, I, you know, how you said the government offers courses, and then you said the American
Arbitration Association.
I would go to the American Arbitration Association because I imagine they offer courses and a tote bag.
Perhaps.
Yeah. So I would go with them because I think there's swag there.
It's more likely better coffee.
You're right. Yeah, right. A good coffee.
But you got to be really careful because I once tried to join the American Arbitration Association and I ended up with a service that would come out and change my tires when I needed it.
Yeah. It's AAA.
They're both AAA is my point. Yeah.
I know this is a little bit off topic. Excuse me, Tom. But I one time, so humiliating, I went to a AAA meeting, and I stood up and said,
I'm
an alcoholic.
Yeah.
And boy, did I get some stares at the AAA meeting.
I'm sure you did.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. We're going to bring this back around to Tom now, because that's what we do around here. Let me ask you a little bit about, arbitration seems to be a fairly big thing right now. Is it mostly because our court system is so complicated and messed up and expensive, or is it also just a nice, effective way to do things?
Well, the courts and the laws have established really a general rule that arbitration is favored because it clears the dockets in the courts. It means that there is less work for the judges to have to do. It enables parties to resolve disputes on their own terms rather than going through the time and expense of court litigation.
I think if there were more parties, there would be less conflict.
Hold on a second. Captain Crinkle, was that your phone?
Oh, my God.
That was her phone. It sounded like somebody honking outside.
That's my manager, by the way, Tom.
And producer of this show, Bonnie Captain Crinkle Burns.
She has a tendency to make noise while we're recording. And apparently now her phone has gone off.
Yeah.
And I guess
she had it against a marching cymbal or something because it was a very loud buzz.
It was very noisy. Well, that's why I'm so glad that you're here, because I want to sue the shit out of Bonnie Burns.
Is that happening again, Bonnie?
No.
Are you sure?
There's something wrong with your hearing.
There's something wrong with my hearing in that I correctly identified whose bag that buzzing was coming out of.
Yeah. Yeah. He could tell who was calling. That's how good his hearing is.
As sharp as a tack.
All right. So I was under the impression that there were cases that the court wouldn't hear, and then people go to arbitration instead. Is that a thing?
Well, if there is an arbitration agreement in effect, a court is very likely to say, let the parties deal with it through arbitration.
Uh-huh.
In fact, if someone tries to sue when they are under an arbitration agreement, a party might try to compel arbitration. In other words, get a court order to say this should be before an arbitrator rather than before the court.
I see.
Interesting.
It sounds more like, arbitration and mediation sounds fluffier. It sounds more sort of peace, love, expensive tea.
Than what?
Than court.
Yes. Nobody ever says, I'm going to arbitrate the shit out of you.
Yeah, exactly. That's my point. Yeah. It just seems so soft.
It does not have the same panache as suing somebody into oblivion. But it is a more efficient way to resolve disputes. And that's one of the reasons why courts like it.
But it more efficient? I mean, I'll tell you, my mother had an efficient thing. She would just go, I'm going to hit all of you.
Yeah, I'm not even going to look back. I'm just going to hit.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Don't, just swing
your kids
arm
in the back,
and anybody gets... So is that efficient?
Do you do that to two parties?
You drive them around a car and then you swing your arm back? No,
rarely.
But he's not an arbitrator.
I rarely do that.
Yeah, but would that be a form of arbitration where you just put the parties in the car?
It depends on what your agreement says.
Uh-huh. And then my mother drives the car and she just swings.
Yeah, I've seen that, but I've not been a party to that.
Now, I was just going to ask you another important question. It slipped right out of my head. Sorry.
That's because of the tumor.
Yeah. Yeah. Hold on. I'm going to pick up that penny. Oh. I can't.
You can't.
I totally forgot. Go ahead. You next.
Do you think it sounds to me, so back me up, that arbitration is often fairer than a jury verdict? Because you can't really snow.
No, he didn't say it was fair. He just said it was faster. And that's my question.
So my question was about fairness.
I think there are big issues in terms of fairness of arbitration. California has taken a lead in, for example, workplace arbitration, making sure that arbitration agreements for employment disputes meet certain basic criteria.
Oh.
And if you do not allow for discovery of the other side's facts and remedies that equate to what you could get in court, your arbitration agreement is going to be considered invalid.
Uh-huh.
So
in other states, you can get really screwed by arbitration contracts.
Yeah. There are, for example, arbitration agreements that employees try to invalidate because they don't satisfy the basic terms of the law, but
because the arbitrator is the assistant manager.
Yeah,
and he's right up there with his vest and his name tag, and that's
so. What are you saying,
giveaway.
Kyle did to you? Because Kyle's an upstanding guy.
Yeah, many times businesses or employers in employment disputes will try to say things like you're not allowed to proceed in a class action. In other words, you have to bring your case as an individual rather than together with similarly situated people. And we've had recent Supreme Court rulings on that. And the Supreme Court of the United States has blessed that, saying that if you have that sort of class action waiver, that that can be binding. In fact, California's—
Really? That doesn't sound right.
California's Supreme Court has even said that with regard to class action waivers in arbitration agreements. But there is one big caveat with one type of legal claim that California will not allow to be waived in an employment contract. That is the Private Attorneys General Act. But again, that's
what does that mean, the Private Attorneys General?
That is a law that was passed in California saying that you can essentially take on the role of the attorney general. And if you
anybody can.
Yes. And there is basically a recovery that you can get. If the state does not take this claim, you can file a lawsuit. You get a portion of the recovery and the state gets a portion of the recovery because what you are doing in bringing action is furthering the public interest in some
respect.
So you
can appoint yourself attorney general for one particular case.
Yes.
I've never
That's
heard of that.
Awesome.
That's ridiculous. So
I
anybody can just go, I'm an attorney general now?
Don't you speak to me like that or I'm going to go AG on your ass.
So I could open my door at Halloween and there's a kid dressed like Spider-Man and there's a kid just dressed like, doesn't appear to have a costume on at all, and there's a kid dressed like a princess, and I go, well, hey, what do we have here? And the first kid says, I'm Spider-Man, and the third kid says, I'm a princess, and the third kid says, I'm an attorney general. You can just be an attorney general.
You need to have a case. You need to have some sort of claim.
Oh, so that's what I'm going to say to the kid when he says trick or treat. I'm going to go, fuck you, kid. You don't have a case.
You don't have a case, and now you're not getting any candy.
You're not.
Your word's not mine.
Wait, Tom, I'm not understanding something in what you're telling me.
Okay.
So you have a case, and somehow you're not getting recourse through the government, so you go, then I'm an attorney general.
It has to be a particular kind of case.
It has to be a particular type of case.
What kind of case does it have to be?
Well, I often see it in terms of employees who don't get paid properly.
Uh-huh. Right.
Well, then why didn't every one of the people that got ripped off by Donald Trump become attorney generals?
Well,
attorneys general, right?
It's a California thing.
Oh.
But it's an individual case, and it relates to that group decision, which I want to get back to for a second. So what you're saying is, if you feel like your employer is like if I'm being discriminated against because I'm a woman, I'm being paid less, right?
Yeah. Yes.
And I think, well, that's obviously, it's gender discrimination.
That's not why we're paying you less, by the way.
Well,
just so you know.
It's a hypothetical.
Yeah, right.
But I think you're holding.
Okay, first of all, you're not a woman. And second of all, that's not why we're paying you less.
First of all, don't assume my gender. And second of all, I'm not necessarily talking about this podcast. However, let me go on. And so you think you're being discriminated against because you're a woman. But obviously, if you're going to win a case like that, you have to show a pattern, right? Usually you have to, a class action suit would be the way to do it.
Well, that's if you wanted to show it was something bigger than just a case involving you.
Right.
It would be possible to bring a case as an individual.
Right. But it's a much stronger case if you could show that across this multi-thousand per employee. And you're saying that if the employer has made you sign an arbitration agreement, then you can't enter into a class action suit about this. That's what the Supreme Court decided?
If there is language saying that you are not allowed to proceed in a class or collective way, yes.
Oh, that is evil. Isn't it?
Well, it's the law. And
Oh, my gosh. By the way, for those of you following us on Facebook, he just made face number one.
Yeah, he wasn't concealing
Rosenstein.
Anything.
Help me. I'm being kidnapped. I can't say what I want to say right now.
I'm
that
having
was
a great time.
Help me. I'm having a great time being kidnapped. I can't say what I want to say right now.
All right. Well, thank you, Thomas Lenz, for mediating this discussion. Paula, what advice can you give our listeners about arbitration based on this interview?
Dimitri Smith, if you could could I have a little background music from our house band, Dimitri? Beautiful. Arbitration is alternative dispute resolution. Courts favor it because it's fast, and eeny, meeny, miny, moe can be so time-consuming. The fastest arbitration on record sounded like this. First party, he did it. Second party, no, she did it. Arbitrator, she did it. Done. Tom says that juries are made up of patients, but it strikes me that an arbitrator is a patient too. If a doctor and an aggrieved patient go into an office to find an arbitrator with no legs and an oxygen tank, the doctor must be like, fuck!
All right. Thomas Lenz is an attorney with the firm of Atkinson, Andelson, Loya, Rude, and Romo, and lectures at the USC Gould School of Law. Thank you so much for being on our show, Tom.
It has been
fantastic,
my pleasure.
Tom. Thank
just
you.
Wonderful.
Thank you very much.
There we go. All right. Coming up next, new entries in our theme song contest. God damn it, Bonnie. Tune up your musical ears for new delights. That's coming up right after this. The cat of the week is Ginger Bender from Canyon Lake, Texas.
Nobody listens to Paula Poundstone, though she's got plenty to say. Nobody listens to Paula Poundstone, but she keeps talking anyway. She's got advice to share, and it's pretty good. You won't listen, though you probably should, 'cause it's well researched and it's just for you. So maybe once in a while you'll send a buck or two. But nobody listens to Paula Poundstone, that's the name of the show. Nobody listens to Adam Felber either, as far as we know. If a podcast drops and no one hears it fall, did it ever really happen at all?
Oh, yeah. Start fading that, Anthony. Yeah, fade that down. Paula, you remember that, don't
That's
you?
That's a great song.
That is from Kevin Kelso, and accompanied by
you
our house band, Dmitry Yevstafeyev.
That was great. Is that Salamander's nose in that cookie bag right there?
The salamander's eating the cookies, yeah.
Could you just get that? Is so
yeah, I'll
gross.
Brush it away. Okay.
Yeah.
I think it's
you
cute.
I know you said they're clean,
I'll
but
eat
that
cookie on the top, okay?
Gross. Yeah.
I'll eat the cookie on the top.
Yeah.
So we've been taking entries for a year now. We received some remarkable tunes like that one from Kevin Kelso.
That was a great one.
Yeah, it's great. It even contains a Zen message. It's wonderful. Now, we've had more terrific theme song entries come in.
Oh, great.
So you want to hear them?
I do.
Okay, this is a good one. This one's from Rebecca Lee. She wrote about this a cappella tune. I'm a nobody and have been a fan of your work since the early 90s. Not
thank
clear
you,
whether she's talking to me or you.
She's talking to
you. You assumed she was talking to you.
Yeah, thank you.
When
Rebecca.
I was a wee teenager,
Exactly.
I remember watching your late night talk show, that's got to be you, and loved hearing your house band, a cappella group, the Mint Juleps.
They were great.
They inspired me to form an a cappella girl group of my own with friends from a choir class and later earn a BA in music.
That's so cool.
As an adult, I don't have any bored choir friends, so I use the voices in my head and the magic of multi-track recording.
I love that.
Take it away, Rebecca Lee.
Nobody listens to Paula Poundstone. Nobody listens to Paula Poundstone. Nobody listens to Paula Poundstone. And Adam Felber's on every show.
Wow, that is fantastic.
Yeah, I gotta say, I like that a little. Because it both has that thing that I dislike, the whole that you keep pushing that I'm on every show.
I don't
But it really ends
that.
With a fanfare. I mean, I'm in every show with a bullet there.
Yeah, no, it's the nobodies who have pointed out, the nobodies who have submitted theme songs have pointed out that Adam Felber's on every show, and they celebrate that fact.
Well, that's sort of a, not a lie, but it's very misleading. The nobodies didn't stumble into this description, Paula. You've been repeatedly saying it and goading them. You're the ringleader of the, what we say about Adam is he's on every show.
I have nothing to do with that. It's spontaneous. It was grassroots.
It was not grassroots.
It was grassroots.
No,
like Elizabeth Warren's campaign, it was grassroots. Okay. Go, Elizabeth Warren. Yeah, baby.
All right. Well, we also got this one from Cameron Albee. She wrote,
wait a minute. I just have to say one thing before we go any further. And I know you're going to say it's not germane, but it is.
Well, go ahead.
I do not understand Tujunga.
What do you mean?
The street.
The street in Los Angeles, in North Hollywood.
Yeah, I take it on my way here, and I don't understand it.
What do you mean you don't understand
I'm driving on Tujunga, and then it's something else, and then it's something else, and then it's Tujunga again.
I didn't realize. When does it become something else?
I don't know. Sometime when I'm driving on it.
I don't think so.
Yep.
No.
Yep.
Tujunga's always Tujunga.
Tujunga
ends in
always
Lancashire.
It's Lancashire for a little while. That's what it becomes.
Yeah, it ends.
Yeah.
Lancashire is the confusing one. Here's why you're confused, Paula Poundstone. And I'm sure our listeners from all over the country and indeed the world are going to be fascinated by this. So I will encourage Captain Gringle to edit this out.
Keep this in mind. There is, there is a bus tour of Los Angeles.
Okay.
I forget what it's called, but
the bus tour of Los Angeles?
Yeah. It's, you know, the celebrity bus tour of Los Angeles.
Celebrity homes and stuff.
And so, and they're going to be swinging down. They go around Hollywood, but they're going to come over the hill on the freeway to come down to Miranda Street.
Sooner or later, we're going to make it onto that tour, is
exactly
what you're saying.
Exactly. Right. And then,
but, you know, there
and
is so a reason to go down to Tujunga if you're on one of those tours.
What is it?
Because Tujunga is the closest main road, I believe, to the Brady Bunch house.
Oh.
The house where the Brady Bunch was shot. And it's also Tujunga.
I thought you were saying the Brady Bunch was shot.
No,
and I was
but
just
speaking
like,
of
oh
that,
God,
I'm glad you brought
again
up shootings, because Tujunga is also the street on which Vitello's, the Robert Blake murder restaurant, is as well. So it's quite possible that a tour bus could come down to Tujunga.
No, it's coming down to see Ray Horseman Studios,
sure,
where Nobody
sure
Listens to Paula Poundstone is recorded. And by the way, don't we have a new theme song?
Thank you for getting me out of there, Paula. All right, this we got this from Cameron Albee. She wrote, I'm a 13-year-old kid and a huge fan of your show. So I use the power of technology to create a theme song, even though I don't have a whole lot of musical ability. Thanks for making great content for everyone from me to my grandparents. Also, what's the story behind the walk-in freezer episode?
Well, I think we can help you with all those things.
Yeah.
First of all, let me just say that, Cameron, as soon as you said 13-year-old, I suspected you were a kid. And not having musical ability, which I'm sure isn't entirely true. I haven't heard the song yet, so I don't know for sure. But I don't think that stopped a lot of musicians from
certainly
pursuing
not
a career in music. And so I love it that there's great content. I love it that you and your grandparents are huddled around the old smartphone listening to Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone, just like the goddamn Waltons. And go ahead, Cameron, ask your grandparents who they are.
But to answer your question,
behind the walk-in freezer episode is that Adam and I were doing an on-location show in a restaurant, famous Italian restaurant, and we accidentally got locked in a freezer, a walk-in freezer, and we were almost killed.
Yeah.
We almost froze to death.
Yeah. And while we were in there.
And we were reminiscing about, you know, the old podcast that we loved doing.
Yeah.
And freak us out, we heard Bonnie Burns on the other side of the door.
Crinkling, and
she
rescued us.
She was crinkling, and she rescued us. So
I recommend everybody listens to that episode. But yeah. I do
So, Cameron, what's not to understand? And you have grandparents right there. Ask them.
Yeah, well, your grandparents would. Here's something that you wouldn't understand. I think her what's the deal is how. What? Because Cameron is 13 years old and thus is unaware of the clip show convention, which is, Cameron, long before you were born, when TV shows had to churn out like 38 episodes a season, sometimes they would do what's called a clip show, which they would just reminisce about stuff from previous episodes so they could just shoot as little new stuff as possible. And those clip shows often ended up with characters getting stuck in wacky positions where they had no choice but to just sit around and reminisce. So we did sort of an homage slash parody of the classic clip show.
That's not true. Cameron, we were stuck in a freezer. And we were lucky to get out with our lives. You know, Bonnie Burns had up and crinkling on the other side of the door.
We never would have heard
her. We couldn't have heard anything else from there.
Except,
you know,
either explanation,
that
Cameron.
That fucking lizard is now on my Three Musketeers bars. It's a salamander.
Well, it's still wrapped.
It's a salamander.
It's a salamander.
Yes, they're wrapped, but now they're wrapped in salamander slime.
I think it's funny how they're able to, this one, it's got like sticky feet.
It does have sticky feet. And you know what? How do they procreate? Because it appears to be actually humping my Three Musketeers boy. You know what?
Well,
for you.
I would put that one aside and let's see what happens in a few months.
Yeah. We're going to give birth. There's going to be little eggs, little salamander eggs, and they're going to each one have a face like one of the Musketeers.
And you know what? I would still eat the Musketeers burgers after that because those are clean animals. All right. Let's hear Cameron Albee's theme song.
Nobody. Nobody listens to Paula Poundstone. You're walking along, your day's going well. When you're a twist of fate, you fall down a well. I'll drop my phone, I'll take a gamble, so you can listen to Paula ramble. Paula's a genius, also Adam. She'll analyze it, dropping in it to the very atom. If you say it's not important, she'll kick you in the groin. You need Taekwondo and help her find Thomas Coin. Was attacked by a mattress and away he ran. This show is really cool, quote a fan. This podcast is just like a runaway train. You can keep it on track, Adam, you'll just be your pain. She'll talk about movies that she thinks will read, and she'll mention Mr. Station or a cat of the week. She'll even expand your vocabulary. Please teach me a word that rhymes with vocabulary. And add it if you don't want to be on every show, here's a little tip for you. Just don't go. You're always so annoyed. You need to change your tone. But nobody listens to Paula Poundstone.
Woo!
Wow!
That was fantastic,
all right, Cameron! Pardon my language, but I'm calling bullshit on this whole thing about you not having any musical talent.
Oh, man, that was great.
You've got a bag full of musical talent, and if you don't know how to play an instrument now, that does not mean that you shouldn't, because that was fantastic.
Yeah, that really was great. And by the way, in rap, I think February comes damn close to vocabulary. In rap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How about constabulary?
What the fuck does constabulary
mean? I don't even know if I'm pronouncing it right. I believe it's a police force.
Oh, constabulary. Like the guy who sells Oliver?
Yeah, the constable.
Yeah.
Yeah, constable being policeman.
Why not just say that?
Well, because
you added syllables to it,
but it rhymes with vocabulary.
I see, but that you don't just add syllables.
Guy who brings in Oliver, it's not really a rhyme for vocabulary, now, is it?
All right, Cameron, I would advise you to use this rhyme with vocabulary: adamulary.
Wow.
Adamulary. That's a good one.
That's not even a thing.
Adam fell burulary.
Interesting. Now, Paula, I'm sure that Cameron, and again, Cameron, thank you for that song so much,
as well
as Rebecca Lee. I'm sure these fans of yours would like to see you in person. They don't want to just write songs for you. They want to see you in person.
Oh, they're dying to see me in person.
So
are
I'm asking you, Paula, I'm calling you out. Where are you going to be?
I'll be at the Criterion Theater in Bar Harbor, Maine on September 7th. But before then, I'm at the Cape Cod Melody Tent in Hyannis, Massachusetts on August 16th.
Wait a minute. Did you say Hyannis, Massachusetts?
I did.
Well, that's just it's a remarkable coincidence because this week's Ken Lezebnik's America amazingly happens to profile Hyannis, Massachusetts.
Mind-boggling coincidence.
Yeah, it is. Let's start the road trip we call... Ken Lezebnik's America.
You kids, get in the fucking car! Get that dog out of there. We're not taking that dog. We're headed to Cape Cod.
Oops, I did it again.
Welcome to Ken Lezebnik's America. I've packed up the car. The kids are singing in the back. You can hear them. And we're headed down winding Highway 28 to Hyannis, Massachusetts. We're off to explore the largest of Barnstable's seven villages, named for a 17th century Algonquin chief. Hyannis is home to the John F. Kennedy Museum.
Cannon kids, driving me nuts with that Britney Spears shit.
I guess we did it again.
You sure as fuck did. Can we just have some quiet time until we get to Craigville Beach?
The beach? There are sharks out there.
Nervous Nelly, nervous Nelly.
Stop it. It's not her fault we named her Nelly. Nelly, calm down.
Look, I was actually looking forward to visiting the Maritime Museum. You know, to sailors, Cape Cod, the largest sandbar in the United States, was known as the graveyard of ships.
Thanks. That makes me feel great.
I want to go to the Cape Cod Potato Chip Factory! Chips! Chips! Chips!
Shut your chip hole!
Hey, 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 look, that massive blue tent. It's the Cape Cod Melody Tent. Their marquee says innovative comedian Paula Poundstone is appearing August 16th.
Can we just go to the beach?
Chips!
Shut up!
How about getting some Poundstone tickets?
Chips!
Shut up!
Okay, I'm stopping the car.
Roof, roof!
How'd that damn dog get in here? We're going home before he craps in the car.
Maybe another day we'll wander through scenic Hyannis, not to be mistaken for the truly scenic Hyannis port. And maybe someday I'll be able to purchase tickets to see the highly regarded comic Paula Poundstone at the Cape Cod Melody Tent. But for today, that's Ken Lezebnik's America.
Thank you, Ken. Oh, my God. And thank you to our podcast acting company. Sound effects courtesy of Anthony Alfaro. And I guess I'm getting the message that Paula is going to be in Cape Cod on August 16th. So for all her tour dates and to purchase her merchandise, including her T-shirts, visit her website at paulapoundstone.com.
Hey, if you like your podcast to be focused and well-researched and your podcast host to be uncharismatic, unhorny strangers who have no interest in horses, then this is not the podcast for you.
Yeah, and what's your deal? I'm Emily.
I'm Lisa.
Our show's called Baby Geniuses.
And its hosts are horny adult idiots. We discover weird Wikipedia pages every episode.
We discuss institutional misogyny.
We ask each other the dumbest questions, and our listeners won't stop sending us pictures of their butts.
We haven't asked them to stop, but they also aren't stopping.
Join us on Baby Geniuses
every other week on MaximumFun.org.
Welcome back to WKEP at Night. Up next, looks like we've got a PSA from local forest ranger Duck Newton.
Do I start now or?
Yeah, and lean in, Duck.
Yeah, sorry. I wanted to address the unfortunate situation that. Okay, listen, two people. Good people that I and a lot of y'all have known our whole lives are dead. Torn to shreds by
a savage, bloodthirsty beast that defies human comprehension. If you'd like to know more, stop by the Cryptonomica, Kepler's premier museum of the macabre. Just off highway.
Come on. We just wanted to warn y'all, to beg you. If you see one of those things out in the forest, don't fight. Don't scream. Run. Run as far as you can.
Doc, it's almost midnight. Listen, folks, if you see anything, please go to thelamplighter.org and let us know. And get behind a locked door tonight.
Anything else we need to... Oh, they're leaving. Okay, well, that's thelamplighter.org, and stay safe out there, Kepler.
On this day in unremarkable history, Victor Hugo said... I can really see where they could make a musical out of this.
Welcome back, all you nobodies. Paula, you have any special messages this week for fans listening to Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone?
You know I do.
You usually do.
Adam, as you know, we feel we're changing lives with our podcast, and nothing pleases us more. So far, we've changed literally dozens of lives, which is great. But in order to continue this emotional well-being revolution, we have to increase our listenership. I know many listeners aren't sure how to talk to their friends and loved ones about our podcast, so I've written some simple sample dialogue to help our listeners open up about being nobodies.
This is our simple sample dialogue segment.
Yeah, I think it is.
Yeah.
Try
and
this.
And this is going to be you this week providing
I'm taking the helm again.
Yeah, because I did it that one time last week.
Yeah, and it was fantastic.
The phones were lighting up.
The phones were lighting up. So try this. Listener's friend, you are always so busy as a surgeon. When did you have time to get a dog? And your dog is so soft, too. Listener, I've never known how to talk to you about it before, but I listen to Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone, the podcast. It's really funny, and I learned so much. That's how I found out there was a mobile dog wash / surgical instrument repair truck. It's so convenient. It saved me enough time to get a dog. Listener's friend, thank you so much for telling me. I'm going to listen to Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone myself.
Oh, Paula.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, the, phone, yeah, the phones are lighting up now, yeah, Adam, aren't they?
That, you know, it seems like every time I've managed to get myself in an emotional state where I'm just ready to be sanguine, if you know what I mean. Just to, I'm going to let this go, you know, because I just know that Paula's going to set up this unlikely scenario every week. You always manage to top yourself, don't you?
No. What's great about this is...
Yeah. I have
this,
a feeling what's great about it is exactly what I have a problem with, but go ahead.
No, what's great about this is we had already heard about the dog wash surgical instrument repair truck
before.
Yeah,
I thought this is where you were going.
And this listener... heard about that through us.
Yeah, but you see, now this is a little bit, we've gone deep into the rabbit hole now because you were referencing a previous installment of listener
Well, because what's happening, Adam, is
advice.
A lot of the listeners are learning from us.
Yeah.
And this is, so this is how
but
she...
But this is kind of like the inception of the movie The Inception. This is like the inception of Simple Sample Dialogue, because you did this imaginary world where there is such a thing as a mumble dog wash surgical instrument repair shop.
It's not imaginary. It's right here. Did you hear it?
In the thing that you wrote down, yes.
No, but it's not imaginary. This listener was able to use it and got extra time.
Well, now you see, that's what I'm talking about. Now you've imagined a listener who heard about that imaginary thing, availed herself of it, and is now... Oh, my God.
No, it's not imaginary.
No, I heard the Simple Sample Dialogue. I did.
Yeah, exactly. Did. So congratulations to us. Surely our listenership is expanding.
Yes, it sure has. Yeah,
it's been great working with you. This is not going to be a big enough forum eventually.
Eventually it won't be, yeah. Because we will have just legions of imaginary listeners passing on the advice to other imaginary listeners. If you are out there, our email address again is nobodylistenstopaulapoundstone@gmail.com.
And you can find me and Adam on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter.
Well, that's pretty much our show. Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone is hosted by Paula Poundstone and yours truly, Adam Felber. Produced by Paula Poundstone, Adam Felber, Bonnie Captain Crinkle Burns, Ken Lezebnik's America Lezebnik, and Tony Anita acting debut Hull. Wow. Technical direction by Ray Horseman. And I want to take a second here. Do you remember Jorge Reyes?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wasn't he pregnant?
He's played sax for us many a time.
Yes.
Congratulations on the birth of your second child.
Wow, that is so great.
Absolutely.
I met his first kid. Absolutely adorable.
Really?
It's going to be hard to...
Tough act to follow?
Very tough act to follow.
All right. And the mixing, of course, is done by Anthony the Zoo Master Alfaro. Special thanks to tonight's house band, Dmitry Yevstafeyev. Hey, he nodded at me. All right. And thanks again to our guest, attorney Thomas Lenz. Security muscle provided by Ben, the Glickman Vanquisher, Lezebnik. Transcription services for this show provided by TranscribeMe. For your special Paula Poundstone discount, use code Paula Poundstone when placing your order at TranscribeMe.com.
That's our show for tonight. Won't somebody please listen to me?
See, if there is no mobile dog wash surgical repair unit, then we never get that listener that's built off of that.
There is, though. There is. Didn't you hear it?
Well, I heard it because you wrote it.
Yeah. I wrote my... You know what? You write what you know, Adam.
But...
Write every day. Write what you know.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.
With everything you have on your plate,
Earning your degree online seems impossible. But at Grand Canyon University, we specialize in helping you fit a master's degree in business into your busy day. Your graduation team, led by your own GCU counselor, provides you with the personal support you need to succeed. Achieve your goals with a plan and team behind you. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Visit gcu.edu.